On Laetare Sunday, traditionally a Christian community would pause in their Lenten austerity. Laetare means rejoice, and it's inspired by just one verse from Isaiah 66. Laetare Jerusalem, rejoice Jerusalem. For the author of this passage, it is an invitation for those who love God to rejoice in the future restoration of Jerusalem, turning past mourning into joy. It promises comfort and shalom, peace from God, envisioning a renewed future that will bring prosperity and comfort to all of God's people. And today, after many generations, it's interpreted by both Jewish and Christian people as a metaphor for the joyful future of freedom and salvation.
The celebration of Laetare Sunday is a tradition dating from the very early Christian church.
And in the old Roman Catholic tradition, weddings were not allowed during Lent, but were permitted on this day. And of course, it is Mother's Day also. And in those olden days, it was the day when children working away from home were released to go home and visit their mammies. So again, happy Mother's Day to you all. This is Lent, and it is also Ramadan. And for many, it is a time of austerity. That austerity is designed to ground us in what truly matters. And Christians are offered this day to pause that austerity over these 40 days. But our Muslim sisters and brothers probably do it better because they pause their austerity every day at sunset. And us Unitarians, we can also learn from these rituals and practices and pause as often as we need and recognize the value of joy in the midst of whatever it is that tries to diminish or lessen or prevent us from joyful moments. Of course, austerity today is a reference to strict economic measures designed to reduce costs. It's when governments implement strict economic policies to reduce public debt, typically involving significant cuts to public spending, to welfare and services. And during periods of austerity, citizens are burdened with increased taxes, and more often than not, periods of austerity affect the vulnerable the most. But religious austerity, that is a feature of most of the world's religions. Religious austerity in Buddhism, in Christianity, and Hinduism involves self-discipline and denial, all for the purpose of spiritual growth. And practices, as you know, include fasting, meditation, renouncing worldly pleasures to achieve some kind of enlightenment or closeness to God.
But its purpose really is to promote
a simplicity of life. In the very early Christian church, a movement of asceticism grew. Now, this movement was led by what were called the Desert Fathers, who took literally the gospel commandment to sell all you have and follow me.
And then in Luke's gospel, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions.
So the Desert Fathers were men who sold everything and headed away into the desert to spend the rest of their days dedicated to solitary prayer and fasting in order to achieve a closeness or a binding to God. And that binding, that is the root of the word religious. Now they in turn, as you know, an organized movement of monastic life, which thrived, of course, in Ireland. We think of the monks of Skellig Michael, St. Kevin in Glendalough, Clanmacnoise, and Bridget's Nuns in Kildare. Now, the reformers in the 16th century rejected the notion of special communities dedicated to religious life and sought to bring religious ideals into everyday. Enter the Puritans, the ancestors of this very congregation. They focused on austerity as a core virtue in itself, not as a particular vocation of the hermit or the nun or the monk. Of course, Unitarians don't do Lent or austerity as our Catholic or our Muslim sisters and brothers do Lent or Ramadan. Lent, of course, is remarkably similar to Ramadan, and this year it happens together. Ramadan is primarily inspired by the divine revelation of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. It commemorates the month in which the Quran was revealed. And like Lent, it is a month of austerity. But I invite you to consider Laetare Sunday for us as our midweek break for joy, a pause, if you will, from fear or worry about the undone, the yet to be completed. Let us use this time, this hour, for celebrating all that gives us joy in our lives. But when is joy absent? I believe it is when there is fear. Both are powerful, often interconnected emotional states that shape human experience and perspective. They are both teachers, for good or for ill. While fear can be protective, but often a limiting response to potential danger, joy is an infectious, hopeful state, often representing or promoting freedom. Fear and joy are perhaps two sides of the same coin, but joy being the best antidote to fear. And fear, as we know, can make all kinds of behavior and attitudes seem reasonable. And I think fear is one of the greatest issues facing our society today. We turn against those who do not look like us or act like us because we fear that their presence will somehow dilute or reduce our power, our wealth, and our culture. And what do we do with that fear? We make it harder and harder for diversity to thrive. I think we might try and see what it means to move away from protecting our ideas and notions about ourselves to protecting people and the planet which is gifted to us, where all may have life, life to its fullest, an abundant life. There is diversity without which we would be a poor manifestation of creation. And those creation myths in Genesis tell the story of how the heavens and the earth came to be, and it includes everything. We know that our earth is about 4 billion years old, and it took remarkably longer than the 6 days to create. All we can truly know for sure is that it is. We are. As Cathal Courtney says, we have been cast upon the earth together at this particular moment in time with a fundamental need to find the hope that might sustain our lives. Ashley Horan, when she asks, "How is it with your soul?" she says that our ancestors and our descendants are beckoning us, compelling us onward toward greater connection, greater compassion, greater
commitment to one
greater commitment
another,
to one another
and to the earth.
That's the holy work of
that's
showing
the
up
holy work of showing
and the holy work, of,
the
finding
holy work
joy.
Of finding joy.
Today, our Christian neighbors will have as the gospel reading a passage from Luke's gospel, and that it will be read in countless churches throughout the world. Give, and there will be gifts for you, a full measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. because the amount you measure out is the amount you will be given back. Giving, it seems, is one of the pathways to joy. And here's what this brings to my mind. I get a particular joy in gift giving. I love watching the faces of those I've just given a gift to.
Now, the process before handing over can be stressful.
All that shopping. Oh God, what do I get him for his birthday? Because very often we think,
what can I possibly give to someone who has everything?
Or here's another one.
She's very hard to buy for.
But it's a simple and joyful pleasure to give.
Now this is particularly important for me because three of my nearest are celebrating their birthdays,
and one of them has a significant birthday. So pray for me. Of course, gifts are mostly not things at all, but your time, your presence, a helping hand, or an encouraging couple of words. Do you find joy in giving? Giving demands putting aside your ego, yourself, and spending time thinking about the other. That's essentially what's involved in gifting. It's the process of abandoning yourself, if only for a few moments, and thinking of another. So in your experience, is what is written in Luke's passage true for you? That the amount you measure out is the amount you will be given back. Two weeks ago, I offered some ideas about spirituality. Spirituality is to examine, shape, and care for your life and the life around you. And we do this in order to achieve more wholeness, satisfaction, depth, and meaning. So as you examine, shape, and care for your life, you are engaging in a spiritual practice. We look within to care without. We love within to love without. We treat within to treat without. We gift within to gift without. This is what I think Jesus was saying in that passage. And giving will give joy. But do remember, one might receive with joy also. We can develop in ourselves a continuous relationship between a religious or spiritual experience and all other experiences. We don't necessarily need to find the quiet or sacred space, whether mountaintop or church sanctuary, to find spirituality. Our spiritual lives grow through a whole series of precious moments. Those moments when we experience serenity or hope, strength, love, even fear and loss. Our experience of living, sometimes challenging, sometimes filled with grief, but also nourished by moments of joy, they all contribute to enabling us cope with the ordinary demands of life. But only if we mark all of those moments, we sanctify them and allow them to teach us. So on this Laetare Sunday, let us take our midweek break for joy. Let us pause the fear, the worry, the undone, the yet to be completed, and use this time for celebrating all that gives us joy in our lives. The Psalms tell us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Instill in us the desire to search for joy, the intention to find it, and the courage to live it out loud. Let us celebrate the joy of gifting, the giving of ourselves to others, particularly when they need our love and presence the most.